Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this at True Voice with Dr. Fred. Hello and good evening. It's Dr. Fred, and welcome to another amazing episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. And it's always a pleasure to meet you. And gosh, I don't even know if many of you tune in each and every week, or this is not your first time. And I'm really, really, really grateful for anyone who's tuning in more than once, or maybe you've tuned in a number of times. And today I have a new guest host that I'm going to introduce you to. This is not Sam Morris, in case y'all are in your car or something, or you think maybe Sam grew a whole head of hair from a bald head, but that isn't what it is. This is Alexandra, and Alexandra is actually my wife and my partner in crime and my chief partner in my life, and the whole reason for me to be anyone who I am. I mean, the whole idea of me representing True Voice or actually making a difference in the world is all built on the essence of having a primary relationship that's actually working most of the time. I mean, sometimes we do have our troubles, but we have a primary relationship that's actually working. And so now who I get to be in the world is a man who has a primary relationship that's actually working. And so, Alexandra, welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. It's great to have you here.
Fabulous. Thank you. Hello.
Yeah. So Alexandra doesn't know much about this podcast, and I don't actually know very much about it either. I know that it's being broadcast in multiple countries. So I don't know if you're in East Asia, or if you're in, West Europe, or if you're in South Africa, or if you're on the North Pole. I have no idea. You might just be in, Tallahassee, or you might be in Butte, Montana. We're here in Northern California, but actually this particular time, I'm not in Northern California. The last 2 days, Alexandra and I have taken a trip, a car ride, through Northern California up until Southern Oregon. And now we're kind of in mid-Oregon, which is directly north of California. And I'm here for a trial for which I'm an expert tomorrow, a really high-powered trial that I'm being asked to offer an expert opinion on. So we decided to drive up here and kind of make a holiday out of it. So we've been gone for a couple of days. Now, Alexandra's she had a question for me. It was like, well, what are we going to talk about? What are some of the questions? And I know with Sam, it's easy to go down rabbit holes, and it's easy for us to, it's easy for us to really, take on difficult topics and take them on together and then, take you down these rabbit holes, these highly intellectual or sometimes dark corners of rabbit holes, and try to add some humor or some man humor together. But today I really want to take you in a different pathway. We're here with my wife, my life partner, my beloved, or all the terms that come. We never knew what to call each other from the very beginning. I guess it's important to get this next piece and just broadcast it out loud. And I think Alex probably knows where we're going to go here. But, we talk often about how we met. How did you meet someone that you can be a life partner with? I've had a number of relationships in which we were life partners. Me and my partner were life partners for a short period of time, or for a moderate period of time, and sometimes even for a long time. And then it simply was no longer pursuable for whatever reason, and it got broken down or broken up. In this case, you know, Alexandra is here as my partner, and you know, you might want to get well, what was the recipe of how we got to be life partners? And we met about a little bit more than 5 years ago, and we were in a group. We were in a group together in a growth and development course, and we didn't like each other. Not at all. No. As a matter of fact, Alexander was the most irritating person I had ever met in my life. And
well, I like to say at this moment that we were very fortunate that we had strong feelings, and the feeling was deeply mutual. It was not the opposite of unrequited feeling, yet the feeling was, this is the most annoying person I have ever met.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's how we got started, and it's like, well, how did that happen? And I, because I really had it that she was the most annoying person I had ever met, and I knew that she had it that I was the most annoying person that she ever met, and so it was kind of like so shocking that we had this mutual distaste for each other that in some ways it was a magnet to pursue what's at the bottom of disliking each other so much, or you know, being so annoyed. And
here what just came up to me as I realized that we'll explore this story. We've often heard that it's way more important to have good questions than to have answers. And I would say what created this dramatic turnaround is definitely having good questions. Like, and this was one of the questions that Fred already mentioned, and we had a couple of others.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the questions that we decided that we would take on, you know, early on was, you know, I asked Alexander a question in the first few days when we finally physically met. We met online for a while, and then we met physically. And I really wanted to know this question. And the question, as I recall, was, what was it again?
What would it take to create a relationship that really works?
I really asked that to Alexander. What would it take to create a relationship that really works? I had, you know, been coming off and rebounding from a relationship that was a kind of a difficult breakup. And it was like, well, what, you know, I feel like I've tried everything I can come up with. And, you know, Alexander is very, very intelligent. And it was like, you know, maybe life experience. And I was like, what is it going to take to actually have a relationship that works? And Alexandra, I think you had like three things that you said about that.
We kind of explored and contemplated it. And then you came up with a follow-up question. And you said what it is that you want, because whenever I get what I want, it never works. That was your follow-up question.
Okay. So, yeah, what is it that you want? Because whenever I get what I want, it doesn't work. And you know, I think that everything sort of changed in my life in the pursuit of relationship and with that question. I don't know about you men out there, but, and you know, there's some people it's like, well, just, you know, if your wife's happy, everyone's happy. And there's something to that. But, you know, the more I learn about this, it's more about, me getting what I want doesn't create a relationship that is necessarily sustainable for the long run. If I continue to be a taker, you know, and just kind of get what I want, it feels good for a little while, sometimes just a few minutes or half a day or something. But ultimately, this getting what I want thing isn't the source of a relationship that actually works.
It was also the additional piece, and that was the 20% piece.
That's a good point. There was this additional piece, which is that, you know, like I said earlier, I'd been in a number of relationships, and in my description of those relationships was that I would assess the relationship early on and then simply like a chameleon, kind of reduce myself to the 20% part of me that was likely to be pleasing to the woman that I was with. So I would kind of gauge, what is she like? What is she not like? What kind of food does she like? What kind of bedtime does she have? What kind of relationships does she have with past friends or present friends or her family? And then I would become sort of a man that fit that fit that mold. And that meant that I was actually sort of hiding away 80% of myself. And after a year or two, if it lasted that long, that 80% would start leaking back, and it would be so inconsistent with what she thought I was that it would just, you know, spill over into the relationship and end it.
So that gave me the opportunity to say, no, I'm only interested in 100%.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what this is. It was a matter of really deciding that 100% was going to be the way to do this. And 100%, in case you don't get it, is really actually 100%. And that includes the things that you're pretty sure shouldn't be included.
Now, we did have the assistance from having started from the place of this deep mutual dislike. Mm-hmm. Because very often people attempt to hide the dislikable parts. But since we already had those front and central as our starting point, it could only get better from there.
Right. That's true. And so we did. That's exactly what we did. We were like, well, what, you know, for me anyways, I had been living, you know, I had kind of a little bit of a marauder lifestyle, or I should say, you know, kind of a delinquent or deviant at times lifestyle. I think there are a lot of men that meet certain qualities like that. And this meant having to address or at least confront that part of myself and decide whether that was going to stay in the relationship. Like, I'm going to do it anyways, even if she doesn't like it, but at least I'll be 100% me. Or was it a time to start looking at which parts of me I simply didn't respect either, that weren't going to play into having a relationship that worked? And what this really ended up with was a pretty rocky run for the first couple years. In fact, the first time that we were together, we were only together for a few months. And then we just broke up. It was, and for me, it was like, well, you know, really what I recall about that when we broke up, and it was on a car ride up I-65 from like Birmingham, Alabama, or even I-75 from like Birmingham, Alabama to Cincinnati. I guess it's 65. And the idea was that I was never going, I wasn't a high enough quality actually of a man to put myself in a position to be Alexandra's partner. And the question was I willing to go through the changes necessary to become that man, or was it somehow either not worth it or not obtainable? And I made the decision that it was too many things going on in my life that were not going to qualify me to be of the integrity that would allow me to actually be with and stand next to and offer security for and be the actual man that would be Alexandra's partner. So I made a decision to end the relationship then. And then, without going into too much of the details, there was a second run where we tried again. And I had, you know, kind of come more to grips that really there was a possibility with Alexandra that being with Alexandra would actually improve the quality of my life, that I would indeed have to do a lot of work, but that maybe I could get it done and still keep part of myself that was inconsistent with having a relationship that worked. So just by saying that, you know, by the end of the second round, we call it, it was clear that I was already still doing things and being someone who was inconsistent with having a relationship that had any kind of hope for longevity, and we broke up again.
And I want to circle back to that beginning where you said, okay, what do you want? Because if I get what I want, it doesn't work. So I surprised myself by having three very clear criteria. And I do believe that they gave us an amazing foundation. So the number one request was safety. I do believe that that's what it takes. And number two request was listening, that we practice deep listening. And the number three was that we are committed to learning from the experience. And when I delivered these three, Fred said, okay, great, I can do that.
And I really meant it. I really meant that I could do all three of those things. But my goodness, it actually took a few years to clean up my act. And I'm not sure I'm even now living up to who I thought I could be. There are some, you know, some old habits that do indeed die hard. Before we go any further, I'm going to share the call-in number. We've only had a couple call-in guests over the months that we've been doing this podcast, but the call-in number, in case you want to join us today, and maybe one of you does, it's a different conversation today, is 1-888-627-6008. When we come, well, I'm going to just talk a little bit about round three before we go into halftime here. And, you know, round three is what we're in now. And round three had a big cleansing in between round two and round three. All sorts of cleansing, spiritual cleansing, physical cleansing, relationship cleansing, personal cleansing, mostly on my part. But also Alexandra went through her own growth and development during that time. And then when we got to back together for round three, it was time to get that this isn't, you know, this is maybe for keeps. Like maybe this is for keeps. I'm showing up for real. Like we've already exposed or played with this idea of 100%. And now it was time to really start looking at what's it going to take to make a relationship like this work. And, you know, I'm sure you've noticed most people who are listening now, it's been troubling times the last couple years in the world. And, you know, we began to take strides into what it would mean to live together, what it would mean to cohabitate, to, you know, share ideas, share vulnerabilities, like what happens to our relationship if we start becoming more exclusive or open or willing or, you know, more accepting, compassionate, forgiving, the things that we already know are part of a relationship and somehow not losing our chops in the meantime. Like, can we do that without sacrificing our whole life to somehow get into a relationship? And, you know, most people say, oh yeah, you can do that. You can definitely do that. There are people who aren't yet in a relationship. Most people who think that that's easy to do, that that's what's worth striving for, but you haven't found the right person, that's people who aren't in a relationship. Actually saying that it's good to do that and doing that are certainly two different things. You know, sometimes the grass looks greener on the other side, or sometimes you just choose to just like, I don't want to, I'm not going to do that.
You know that old world joke that marriage is like a besieged fortress. Those who are on the outside are desperately trying to get out, while those on the outside are knocking at the doors to get in.
So I think you said it. Try it again. I think you got the outside. You said outside twice. So
marriage is like a besieged fortress. Those on the outside the walls, are knocking at the doors, desperately trying to get in. And those who are on the inside are very eager to get out.
Yeah, it is like that, isn't it? So before we talk about what it takes to be in round three and maybe look at what it really means to be in a relationship, which, by the way, has now become the new theme associated with the True Voice, brand. And I'm going to tell you more about that before the show ends today. Let's get off to a commercial, and we'll see you on the flip side of this. It's really fun to tell you how we've developed. So see you on the backside. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field, of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer, and I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had, even though they did meet the criteria, etc. I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the Undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their condition's cleared. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people
walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but as two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeply uncomfortable. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect, and from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Frey. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to True Voice with Dr. Fred. And it is, we're having a little bit of a different show today. And we're really talking about the, a formula that we used to create a relationship that I would say is working. And, you know, there's some days where I think it's not working, I'm going to be honest. And I think that's part of a relationship that's working is you know that it's working if at least on some days it's clear or it becomes at least marginally clear that maybe this is not working. And because you got to be on the edges and you got to take a risk and you actually have to expose parts of yourself that maybe are uncomfortable or inconsistent with the things that I want, right? Like if I show her that or I say that or I do that, that's not what I want. And there's something about staying tough, staying a man, keeping your chops, and at the same time being gentle or present or for sure staying safe and listening and being compassionate and accepting. It's a combination that makes this an ongoing challenge and an ongoing thrill to create the relationship that works. Because boy, when it works, it's just completely amazing. The most amazing thing I've ever experienced. And during those times in between it working, it doesn't always seem so amazing. So Alex, you mentioned that you want to talk a little bit about nonverbal communication. How does that fit in, do you think, to what we're doing here or even what people should do or could do in their own relationship?
I think I'll backtrack back to that original founding meeting where we said the inquiry was what would it take to create a relationship that worked? And you brought up the 20% that you knew how to create something that worked by pleasing the person with 20% because you believed that the other 80% would not be acceptable. And my answer was, no, I'm only interested in 100%. And you again brought up that those 80% might be too much. I think a lot of us have this concern or had been repeatedly told that we're too much. And one of the things that almost instantly came up for me is, no, there is nothing you can do to break me. It is my responsibility to stay whole no matter what happens. I guess to manage to ease myself or each other, I think it equally applies to both, out of this idea of you hurt me. That's such a tempting place to go to that, oh, you did X, Y, and Z, and that's what has hurt me. And that's not automatic that when our partner does whatever it is they do, that we have to take it personally. Mm-hmm. And that's an ongoing practice. And I think one of the things that I have been growing in and didn't come natural to me is to trust that if things are a bit challenging, that it's okay to let it simmer in that place of challenge. that I can trust our commitment to learning, that if I can sit with a discomfort, in 9 times out of 10, some kind of a brilliant insight emerges after we have let it simmer. That we have enough of the foundational commitment to learning that has saved us every single time so far, as much as I see it.
Yeah, it's a really great point. I mean, I'll say it's like a surrender. The idea that, that Alex is kind of more gifted in what it takes to keep a relationship honest or fresh or real than I do. Like, my life has been based on when it gets too hard, or I have a couple beats of, or maybe, 6 or 8 or 10 beats of dissatisfaction or of misalignment, that I am willing to conclude that I guess the relationship has run its course or something like that. And with Alexandra, that's not been the case. It has been the case sometimes for me, actually. And Alexandra is just a stand for, let's stay right here and continue to be with whatever it is that's uncomfortable. And the more that I now find myself surrounded by couples that have relationships that are working, the more I see that that's universal among couples that are working. That a matter of, feeling the feelings all the way through, like somehow sitting with the discomfort and realizing not that it's my fault or Alexander's fault, but that it's here and that there's something to be learned by walking through the feelings. And it's true. Once the sharp edges or the contraction starts to reduce, a great insight or a great new contemplation or new commitment can be made as to what I can do or what can be done to address whatever was contributing to that discomfort. And it doesn't mean that it won't happen again. It just means that there's something to learn, maybe from the source of the original core wound that caused it, or maybe just from what to do next time or what to listen for next time, or how I might have contributed to something that I thought was all Alex's. I don't know. It comes in many colors. And so now I've matured. And in that maturity, I've developed a capacity to become more aligned, not only with Alex, but with my whole self. And that's what you are all seeing. That's why I have the True Voice brand. The True Voice brand is actually, has me as the in a lot of ways, as the ideal client avatar. I'm my dot, as Dean Graziosi would say. It's in some ways, it is precisely because I have developed into a relationship that's working that allows me to now have really warm and deep and loving relationships, for instance, with my two children. Like, they get that they're actually looking at a real man instead of like whatever veneer I was running around with. Not that I wasn't a real man. I actually was a real man then. But there's something that's much more committed to being aligned and dedicated and, declarative, consistent and true and honest with myself now, in most or almost all of my interactions. And that creates a life that is a new level of richness that's involved, a new level of capacity to interrelate, not only with Alexandra, but with my children and then the world around. Anything you want to say about any of that?
Well, I think given how core is the framework of True Voice has been in this past year in how you're developing your service, something that I'm observing as I'm listening you developing this framework is the nonverbal aspect of the True Voice, that if we allow our state of being to be expressive and communicative, even if we cannot find the words, because that's where I find myself. I think that when things go downhill for me, I just get frozen and I'm completely incapable of coming up with any words in that moment. And I think for people who experience me in that moment, it's extremely shocking because I'm quite verbal and communicative normally, and the level of Barry used the word transformation that happens in that moment of adverse shock where I freeze and I can come up even with the simplest words. I think that those are tricky moments and I do need support in that moment. And yet because I literally lose my gift of words, I can't make a verbal request. And those moments have been tough for us. And that's where leaning onto nonverbal is. I mean, what else is there when the words are not available?
Good point. And, you know, we've talked a little bit on this show about some of the ways to get self-expression out there when verbal interchange is either not available or not the ultimately the best modality to express oneself. In the world of the creative aid, for instance, there are art, music, dancing, singing, drama, cooking, writing, gardening, cleaning, and photography, and others. But I think you're talking about a way that's even greater than those 10, which is the importance of you cannot not communicate. But even when you're silent, there is a loud communication that's being delivered when silence is being utilized. And words could otherwise be efforted. And so, you know, it's up to the person who is committed to creating a relationship that works, which does require honest to goodness, pure communication, to allow for silence as being another form of communication, and then take from that what there is and communicate effectively on the backside of silence. If that's a call for support, then the other person really gets a choice. Am I to support you or am I not to support you? If that's what's being called here, you know, like really being honest, brutally honest with oneself is where true voice really steps in and doesn't have to show up in utterances from our vocal cords.
And it seems that the mechanism of conflict is that at least one person, sometimes both, loses access to their usual tools and their usual ways of coping. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a ride. And I think that's what it takes is from the other person is somehow to be able to ride with that loss of capacity. And it seems that this empowerment of a close person is a lot harder on us than any hardship we might experience personally. I think that, at least that's my observation, that the greatest source of rage seems to be with a close person, like, how dare you fall into disempowerment? Why are you doing that to me or to us by falling into disempowerment? And the intensity of pain from witnessing a close person falling literally into that pitfall is quite a ride.
So I think we're really talking, you know, I mean, I do plead guilty to at times, you know, altering. Most of you haven't seen me being intensely disempowered, but there are times in a relationship where I do choose to, you know, where I find myself defaulting into a disempowered context, like I have nothing to say and I'm weak and I'm diminished and, you know, shrunken. And then, you know, find myself being disempowered. And I think many of you who are working in your relationships probably can relate to at times becoming disempowered in the presence of your partner in a way that is not necessarily conducive to growing and developing together. And it does take really just some form of communication that allows for, or some sort of, again, we're looking at these magic words of acceptance, forgiveness, compassion. And then we're looking at some other magic words, which are this idea of conversation, this idea of communication, this idea of creativity, this idea of really connection. And you know, certainly you can connect with someone without being in a vocal conversation. And oftentimes that's the way it's working with Alexandra, you know, with me. My old habits, they show up, you know, they show up. Okay, Fred, you could do this now. You could, you know, move to another city or get another job or, you know, gosh, even explore what it would be like to get another relationship. And, or I could call an ex-girlfriend, or I could, you know, run away to the woods for a week or something. And those are things that I've done before. And you know, those are things that I'm you know, sort of proud to say out loud that I've done before. And they work to some extent to actually alleviate the pain for the time being. But they don't really take on the essence of what it means to have a relationship that works. And I think at this point, that's where Alexander and I are really, really moving forward. And so this is what, you know, this week, I True Voice has taken another turn. And the True Voice course is now geared towards generally an honest to goodness mature adult population, the adult population who has likely been in a relationship for some time, they're 45 to 60 years old or so. Maybe they've had kids. Maybe the kids have now left home or no longer a source of, you know, need for mutual support from their parents. You know, the kids are no longer a major factor. And you look across the kitchen table and there you are with your partner. And, you know, given the status of the world, you're probably not going anywhere anytime fast. I mean, you certainly you could if you want to, but it's even harder to walk away. It's unclear that you're going to find another partner. It's unclear how the world is really going to turn even in the next few days or weeks. And you might find yourself feeling like you're stuck together. And even if you feel that way, it's like, what can you do? What can you revitalize? What can you rekindle? What can you, you know, what can you do to actually renew or rediscover a part of yourself that has been hidden or muted or muffled over time? And so that you can create a relationship that works with this partner that you've been, you know, maintaining, sort of a maintenance relationship with. And can you rekindle your heart? Can you, and I'm not saying just like, you know, take dates once a week. This is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, can you be honest with yourself for what you haven't been sharing or what you've had an inability to share with another person so that the impact allows you to dig into closer and more real towards this 100% core self that you really are?
And I think very often we make these decisions single-handedly that, oh, we think that our partner expects from us to be a certain way. We just make this assumption, or we also make an assumption that our partner is not capable of going somewhere new. We just assume that based on what we think we have observed. So we never give ourselves a chance to explore something new based on our assumptions. And I think that's very, very frequently where we think we know this person, and that prevents us from truly knowing them.
That is really, really great, right? I mean, I know that's true with me. I think, well, Alex isn't like that. Like, this is something I might have done when I was living alone or with that girlfriend or back when I was young. And Alex isn't like that. She's like this, and she's not like that. And I won't even introduce that idea. It's kind of what drove the 20% illusion. Like, I won't even introduce that to Alex because I already know that she wouldn't even do that if I did. And, of course, that's not based on any truth. That's based on entirely a myth inside of my thinking, this idea that I think I know Alexandra. And she, I think you're right when you say that. And by doing that, it really does prevent me from getting to know you. So can I be open and honest and fresh, you know, each day, like really take on that this is an actual human being there and a human being who's subject to trying new things or maybe things that you already have tried that I would never even give you credit for. And, you know, and actually being able to take on what it means to take on my 100%. And when I do that, I get the feeling that, you know, when I take on, when I take that risk and just jump into cold water or what appears to be cold water, sometimes it's not nearly as cold as I thought it was going to be. And secondly, once I'm swimming in that, I think it invites you really openly to share the water with me and take on your most, you know, your most vulnerable things or your most sensitive or delicate areas with me. And that's when we get to drive forth and really create a relationship that, that stretches, you know, that's on frontier, that is taking looks at things on the edges that I've never explored with anybody else. So,
and I do believe that it is this third statement of commitment of learning from experience that does pull us through once more and once more and once more. That even if in the moment of, in a challenging moment, I sit there as like, oh my God, I really don't see how this makes sense. I really don't see how this makes sense. And so I sometimes sit with that for quite a while. And almost inevitably, like for us, it's 6 to 8 hours later, one of us, and more often than not, Fred comes up with some amazing insight. And I'm like, whoa. But sitting and letting it simmer for those 6 to 8 or whatever hours, sometimes it's 24 hours, sometimes it's longer. It's like, oh my God, I truly do not see how to make sense of whatever it is. It's truly beyond my capacity to string it together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So look, once you're taking on a relationship at this level, and I thank you, Alexander, for being so honest and open even on this. We wouldn't have been able to have this conversation, you know, just even 2 years, not no way, certainly not publicly, let alone with each other. So this is the kind of thing that, and this isn't the answer. It's not the answer. But in some ways, it's like poking holes in this stuff and making sure that you can speak to the truth of it, because you get some confidence that most people are probably struggling with things that at least resonate with what we're talking with here, talking about here. And maybe not struggling, but it's dealing with it. And so, you know, that's what True Voice is about now. True Voice is really aiming at the couples and really aiming at couples getting along with each other, and couples getting along with themselves with each other. And then, you know, what can you do at work? What about that job that you've hated that you haven't said anything about for a long time? Is it time to actually look at doing something different now that the world has, you know, the pancake has turned? Or, you know, what about your relationship with your kids? Are they listening to you? Do you care? You know, do they care about you? Are you actually being honest with them? Or is it now that the disciplinary role is over, can you? What kind of relating are you doing? What kind of helping and supporting are you doing with them? And, you know, what about, you know, your space in the community or the hobbies or the things that you've wanted to do your whole life? Maybe pick up an instrument or a new language or, you know, run a marathon or all those things, or jump out of an airplane or any of those, but even the smaller ones that are a little less dramatic. What about those? Can you do those? And I'm saying that in order to do those, not only to address all the significant problems in the world, that's going to take a true voice, right? It's going to take a true voice to address COVID. It's going to take a true voice to address climate change or racism or sex trafficking. It's going to take a true voice to deal with those things. But it's going to take a true voice to address all of these things too, these relationships. Or you can choose not to use your true voice and you can keep having the life you have, and then you can die without anyone ever knowing you. And I just think that's the greatest tragedy. So True Voice is meant to really bring you a life that actually works more than the life that's working now, and in areas and ways that you probably have is unimaginable, because you've already determined that that isn't going to happen in this life when it really could. So welcome to True Voice. Welcome to my True Voice podcast with my beautiful wife, Alexandra. I think we're going to be signing off here a little early this week. We have some Thai food coming.
I want to circle back one more time to the nonverbal, to the tremendous power of nonverbal communication, and to any discipline that helps us to really feel the movement of energy through our bodies. And for me, my primary discipline that I keep leaning back onto is dance. I sometimes jokingly say that I don't know how people who don't dance survive, because for me, I keep coming back to an art form which has very deeply built in nonverbal communication mechanism and a way of practicing and collaborating and really developing capacity to feel our own body and to feel our partner's body and co-create something beautiful. And I sometimes jokingly say that dance is a universal remedy, and if we could get everybody dancing every week, then maybe the great many problems would dissipate if there was a way for us to come together dancing. So that's one of my secret hopes. Okay. And there is definitely, like, our true voice emerges from our bodies. So we need to develop trust of our bodies and having such a safe place, because within each dance discipline, there is a range of customs. When you start a new dance discipline, you need to ask the locals, how do you go about getting dances? How do you go about figuring out who's leading, who's following? And that's just such a fabulous practice. And I guess what emerges also, something I love giving a plug to, and that is the power of the followers. Mm-hmm. Is we give all the pep talk to leadership, and yet you're not a leader unless you have a follower. It's the follower who makes you into a leader. Mm-hmm. And it's the skill of the follower that makes the couple look great on the dance floor. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter how skilled the leader is. If the follower doesn't have the skills, they won't look like anything. And then, of course, it takes a great leader to really take advantage of the follower's skills. So that's something that I'd like to put out there for us to continue as we stay with this critical conversation. How do we truly communicate with people that we truly care about?
Beautiful. Thank you for bringing that in. It is beautiful. Last week, I had my first fusion dance night, and I said we're out of town here. We're having some Thai food. I'm in a trial tomorrow, and we're hurrying back so we can be back for another week of fusion dancing next Friday. And I'm really finding the value in that. And it's a beautiful art form, as Alexander was already been referring to. So you ready to close it off here
yes.
tonight? All right. Well, thank you each and every person for staying as long as you have, for maybe you listened to the whole thing, or maybe you're listening to the whole thing afterwards. And I can speak for Alexander. I'm really, really honored that you found some value in listening to this. If you did, you know, go ahead and like and comment and share the podcast so that other people can enjoy it as well. And it serves us really well to get likes, comments, and shares. So thank you so much for that. In the meantime, it's time to really find your true voice. Now is the time. Today is the day. You're the one. It really is time to find that true voice, because without your true voice, you know, no one will ever know you. And not only will no one ever know you, you have no chance of dealing with anything else in the world. And with your true voice, we really can end all the wars inside and out. So thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of this whole movement. Thanks for being part of Welcome to Humanity. Welcome to humanity. Welcome to your true voice. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the world as it is, exactly as it is, and exactly as it's not. Bye for now. We'll catch you next Tuesday. Take care.
Bye for now.
Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding True Voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their True Voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?